In the old days, there was a businessman who went on a trip, a business trip, and he starts making money. The money in those days were golden coins or silver coins. He makes the money, he puts it in his pocket, and then he has to go to a different city. Now they're afraid of robbers on the way. The robbers used to hide behind the trees, in the forests, and they see a businessman going, they say, look, he probably has money. He was doing business in one place, now he goes to another place. So it's dangerous to travel with money in your pocket. Well, what can you do? You have to do something. You have to have money from your family. So they took a chance, and the businessman had the money in his pants. And he goes to another city, he makes more money. And he puts in his other pocket the golden coins, till his pants is full of money. And he goes to a different city, Baruch Hashem, no robbers. And he makes more money, then he puts the money into a bag, because it doesn't fit in his pants anymore. And this is the way they lived, this is the way the businessmen went around until they got more and more money, till finally they got home. In this story was a certain businessman who went on a very long trip. He was going around from place to place until he had a whole bag full of money, full of golden coins. This businessman in our story already had a big bag of golden coins. In fact, he already had 500 golden coins. More money that could fit in his pockets, to fit in his coat. He had to carry it in some kind of a bag. It was very heavy. And once in a while, it made a clinking sound. He was nervous that somebody would find out that he's got the money and take it away from him, because this was his money for his family that he had worked very hard and very long to get, and he needs it for his family. And of course, for giving tzedakah. But he has a long way to go back home, and in fact, he's got more places to go in business. He expects to make even more money. What if he keeps taking this money around with him? Chas v'shalom to lose it. Well, he came now, in his traveling, he came to a certain hotel. He wants to rest, he wants to eat, sleep overnight, go to the next city. He goes into the hotel, and there's a restaurant over there. Now, sometimes in those days, there were also robbers in the hotels that are looking at people. Oh, who's coming in? Who are the travelers here? What are they carrying with them? And how can I figure out a smart way to get it away from them? So he sits down in the hotel, in the restaurant, and he wants to eat something. And he's looking around, he's nervous, because he doesn't know who's looking at him. What kind of people are over there? What kind of people are there? And he has the bag of money next to him, and when he puts it down, it makes a little clinking sound. Ooh, I don't want anybody to hear that sound. They might figure out I have golden coins over here. And he's kind of looking around in a nervous way. Well, Kinalach, it so happened that the innkeeper, the hotel owner, was himself such a person that used to steal. And he used to be very sneaky. And he used to look to see who comes in my hotel and what do they have. And sometimes he would figure out tricky, sneaky ways to get it away from them, and nobody ever found out who it was. It was the hotel owner himself, the innkeeper himself. And the innkeeper was looking at this man out of the corner of his eye, because he looked like a very important, wealthy kind of a businessman, and he was looking to see, who's this man who just came into my hotel? But he wasn't looking straight at him, because the businessman might figure out that the hotel man is looking at him. But he was looking at him like out of the corner of his eye, like peeking. And he heard also the clink. I heard a clink. Oh, I heard a clink. I wonder what's in that bag. Oh, look, it looks heavy. Looks like money. Well, the businessman was nervous about his money. And all of a sudden, he got a big smile on his face. A big smile. And he got up and he took his bag and he walked out of the hotel. The hotel owner saw that. He said, I wonder why all of a sudden he looked nervous. He was looking around. Then he smiles. He looks happy. And he leaves without ordering anything to eat, without getting a room. And he takes that bag with him. I wonder where he's going. And the hotel man decided he's going to follow the businessman. And he sees the businessman going out into the forest that's by the hotel. And without knowing, without the businessman knowing that he was being followed, the hotel man was following him into the forest. And finally, the businessman stopped in the forest. He took a stick and he starts digging a hole. Very quietly, the hotel man climbed up a tree nearby, and he didn't make any noise. And he wanted to find out what's going on, but he didn't want the businessman to see that he's there. So he climbed up a tree, and he's peeking from behind the tree. The businessman is digging a hole. He digs a big hole. Finally, he puts the bag in the hole. He's hiding the money in the forest. He thinks nobody will see him. He thinks it's a good hiding place. And he'll come back and get his money. That's what he thinks. He thinks nobody sees him and he's going to come back and get his money. He's in for a surprise. And the businessman gets done burying the money. And he stands up with a big smile and he says, Baruch Hashem, I have a good hiding place for my money. Nobody will find out. And after my business trip, I'll come back and get it. And then I'll go home to my family and give it to my wife and my kinderlach. And he walks away and he goes back into the hotel. And very quickly, the hotel man goes down from the tree and he goes running around the other side of the hotel and goes back in and he pretends that he wasn't there. He pretends that nothing happened. And the businessman stayed in the hotel for overnight till he ate and he slept and he went away. He left on his business trip. And the next day, after the businessman left, the hotel man went out in the forest where nobody was looking. He knew exactly where the place was. He dug up the hole. In the hole, he pulled out the bag of money and he counted it. 500 golden dollars. Oh, did I get rich from this bag of money? Oh, am I smart? And he took the bag of money. He put it in his house. He stole it. The kinalach, the businessman, went away wherever he had to go. On the way back, of course, he stopped by that hotel. Before stopping at the hotel, where do you think he went?
To get the money.
He went to get the money in the forest. Well, he goes over there to dig it up. Digs in the hole. He knows where the place is. And he digs and he digs and he digs. It's supposed to be here. I know I put it here. It wasn't so deep. I mean, I know where I put it, but there's nothing here. Oh, well, maybe I have to dig a little bit deeper. And he digs a little bit deeper. Still no money. Where's the bag of money? I mean, I was alone in the forest. And nobody saw, maybe a squirrel or maybe a bird, but I know that I was alone in the forest and I put the money in this hole. And he dug and he dug, and sure enough he saw the money was gone. Oh no. Oh no. All that time and all of that money and all of my traveling and all that I did is gone. I have nothing for my wife and my kindalach. Oy vey. Now, kindalach, what could he do? He didn't know who did it. He didn't know anything. But right away, he trusted in Hashem and he said, look, let me calm down. Let me trust in Hashem. Let me figure out what I can do. At the same time, he davens to Hashem. And he goes into the hotel, he sits down, and he thinks to himself, what can I do? Kinalach, he looked around the hotel. He looked around at the people. And then he looked at the hotel man. And he just caught the hotel man looking at him out of the corner of his eye, because the hotel man had seen him come in, and the hotel man knew what he did. And the businessman was a very smart man, and when he looked at the hotel man, he got a little bit of a funny feeling. Why is he peeking at me like that? He looked at me a little bit funny. And looked around the people in the hotel. He didn't notice anything special. Then he got the feeling, that hotel man was in the same place when I came the last time. And yes, in fact, I think also he was also kind of peeking at me. And when I would look his direction, he would look away. Yes, that's what he was. Just like now. When I came in, he's like peeking at me. And as soon as I look at him, he looks away. I'm getting nervous from that man. I get a kind of a not good feeling when I see him. He thinks, maybe he did it. Maybe he saw what I did. Well, even if he did see what I did, what can I do about it? I mean, first of all, I don't know for sure. And second of all, I mean, even if he did it, how can I get my money back? He took it already. What can I do? Kinalach, all of a sudden, the businessman got a very smart plan. Now, where do smart ideas come from, Kinalach? Of course, a person tries to be as smart as they can, but you know, smart ideas come from Hashem, that's right. He had bitachon, and Hashem helped him and put a good idea in his head. Like it says in the davening, Hashem shows people which way to go. A person, Hashem leads a person in his steps and shows him which way to go. And a person that has bitachon, Hashem helps that person. Now listen to what he did. The businessman goes over to the hotel man. And he says, excuse me, you remember me? Oh yes, of course. Now the hotel man pretends that, you know, nothing happened. You stayed in my hotel a few weeks ago, right? Yeah, yes, of course. Oh, you took very good care of me. You have such a nice hotel. And the food is very good. And I had such a nice room. He says, now he kind of whispers. He says, you know, when I was in your hotel last time, and people were talking, you know, we were eating together, talking together, everyone was saying how you're a very smart man. And the hotel owner man says to himself, oh yeah, you know, I'm pretty smart. I mean, I'm a pretty good man in this hotel, and I'm glad that people think I'm so smart. And the businessman says to the hotel man, he says, you know, because you're a smart man, I want to ask your advice. I have a problem, and I'm trying to figure it out. And I thought I'm going to come and maybe ask you about it. Because you're a smart man, maybe you're going to have a smart answer. So do you want me to tell you the problem and maybe you'll help me with it? And the hotel man, at first he was nervous, but then he thought, well, The businessman doesn't know anything, so, you know, why not? He says, look, I just came from a business trip that I took to a few cities since I was by the hotel, and now I came back here. And this is my first stop because I want to stay in your hotel and have some food. But I'll tell you something, I still have more to go on my business trip. And I'll tell you what, I have a bag that I made of 800 golden dollars. 800 golden dollars on this part of my business trip, a lot of money. And I still have other places to go. Now let me ask your advice. I'm a little bit nervous to carry around 800 golden dollars in a bag. Now, on the first part of my trip, when I came here the first time, I had a bag of 500 golden dollars. I was nervous to take that around. So you know what I did? I hid it in the forest. And the hotel man pretends, he says, oh yeah, you hid it in the forest? Yeah, yeah, I dug a hole and I hid it in the forest. That's what I did. In a secret hiding place. And now I have 800 golden dollars. Now the question is, do you think I should carry this 800 golden dollars on me? And maybe even the other bag, maybe I should take it with me because I don't know if I'll come back to this hotel again. And I should take that chance. Or maybe I should also bury the 800 golden dollars next to the 500 golden dollars and I should leave it in the hiding place and go on the rest of my trip without having to take the chance of carrying that money with me. In other words, should I bury both bags of money in the secret hiding place? Or maybe, because I don't know if I'm going to be here again, and it's going to be out of my way, I should just take all the money with me now. And the hotel man pretended, of course, that he knows nothing, and he starts to think, and he says, you know what? You're asking my advice, and I'll tell you. Probably, I think the best thing to do is bury the 800 golden dollars together with your other bag of 500 golden dollars, and that way you wouldn't have to take a chance. And that way, you might have to come out of your way after your business trip, but at least your money will be safe. I think the best thing to do is leave it in the hiding place and have it safe than to carry it with you. Because if you carry it with you, something might happen to it. That's what I would do. And the businessman said, yeah, you know. And the businessman said, that's what you would do? You think that's the smarter way to do it? To bury them both?
No.
And the hotel man said, yes, I think that's the best thing to do. And the businessman pretended to think, and he says, you know what? I think you're right. Thank you very much for your advice. I think that that's the best thing. Well, I think I'm going to eat now, and I'm going to sleep, and I'm going to have a good night. And tomorrow I'll take care of doing what I have to do. And he went to his table, and the hotel man served him a good meal and gave him a nice room. And of course, he thinks that this is what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, Kinalach, that night, after the businessman went to sleep in his room, the hotel man very quickly went to his house. He got the bag of 500 golden dollars. He hadn't spent it yet. And he went out into the forest. He found the hole. He dug it up again and he buried the money there. Now, why did he bury the money again? Because he thinks now that when the businessman goes out there tomorrow, he's going to find his hiding place and put in another bag with 800 golden dollars. And he wouldn't know that anything had happened. He didn't know, he would not know that anybody found his hiding place. And that way he would bury both bags all together. How much would be 500 golden dollars and 800 golden dollars? How much would that be?
13.
13 what?
$100.
1,300 golden dollars. And then, when the businessman would go away on his trip, he would go and dig up both bags, and he would be such a rich man. It's worth it to bury the 500 golden dollars in order to get back an extra 800 golden dollars. And that's what he did. Okay. So the hotel man went out. He buried the bag of 500 golden dollars because if the businessman would discover that somebody had stolen his money, he wouldn't put in the bag of 800 golden dollars. And that way, the innkeeper would only have stolen 500 golden dollars. But if the businessman will go there and find his 500 golden dollars, and he won't know that anybody knows about his hiding place, he's also going to put in the bag of 800 golden dollars. And there's going to be 1,300 golden dollars just sitting there. And the innkeeper will go out and become a very rich man. And the businessman will never find out. But, of course, this was only the smart plan and the trick of the businessman to get his money back. Because the next morning, after the businessman davened, and after he learned some Torah, and after he ate, and he packed up his suitcase, and he left, and he was carrying also a bag, and the hotel man thought, this is the bag of the 800 golden dollars. Maybe he even made it clink a little bit, but of course in there was not 800 golden dollars, it was just some of his things. He left and he said goodbye to the hotel man and he thanked him again for helping him and giving him the good idea. And he left the hotel and he goes out towards the forest. The hotel owner was just smiling and he thinks to himself, aha, he's going to go bury that bag of 800 golden dollars and I'll give it some time until he leaves and he goes away more on his business trip now. I'll wait till he goes far away, and he's already far away on his business trip. And the hotel man says, I'm going to go up and dig up, I'll go out and dig up both bags. And he says, when he's far enough away, I won't have to worry him about him at all for a long time. After all, he was away a few weeks, he'll probably be away a few weeks again, at least a few days. And I'll go out in an hour or two, and I'll dig up both bags, and I'll be such a rich man. But, Kinalach, the businessman went out in the forest, he dug up the hole, and Baruch Hashem, he found his bag of 500 golden dollars, he took it with him, he did not put anything back in the hole at all, and now he had his money, and he left, and he didn't go anymore on his business trip. It was finished, he went straight home, and he took the money home, and of course his wife and his kinalach were so happy to see him, and he gave a lot of tzedakah, and he thanked Hashem, and they used the money to buy good things, and kosher things, and freilich things, and Yiddish family things, and that's the end of the maase. Okay? Shh. The phone rang in the principal's office in the yeshiva. And the principal got a very surprised look on his face. $10,000? Oh, boy. He got so excited. And the secretary saw the principal. $10,000? What does it mean? And the voice on the other end, there's a prize in the city for the best yeshiva, and that yeshiva on this coming Thursday could win $10,000. Oh, what's the contest? Well, this certain group of people that's giving the money are sending judges to every yeshiva on Thursday. And they're going to find out the best yeshiva, and the best yeshiva that's going to get the most points from the judges is going to get $10,000. Oh, that's great. Let's get ready for the contest. And they made a meeting. How should we become the best yeshiva? How should we show that we're the best yeshiva?
Of course we're the best yeshiva. How do we show that? And they said, every class has to learn so good. And they cleaned up every class so perfectly and every desk so nicely. And they tell the kid, you have to pay attention and look inside. And you have to bring all of your things and learn so good. And you have to know so good and do your work so perfectly. Because we're sure that the judges are going to test you and see how you're learning. And they go to the shul to make sure the shul is nice and everything is in order, because they're going to see the davening in the shul and make sure the shul, everybody's going to be davening good. And they say to the kids, you have to behave good and daven so excellent, because we don't know exactly what time the judges are coming. And so finally came Thursday. And the car drove up with the judges. And they came out of the car. And the kids who saw out the window, they said, they're coming, let's learn. And if they were davening in the shul, they said, they're coming, let's daven so good. And the kids are in the class with their teachers, with their rebbes, learning so excellent. But no judges came in. Nobody came in. Where are the judges? Well, Kinalach, one judge went into the hall. Another judge went out to the playground. And another judge went into the lunchroom. And another judge went into the gym. Hey, how come the judge is there? Well, I don't know. And Kinalach, this is where the judges were. They were there the whole time, and they didn't even go into a classroom until the kids figured out and the rebbes figured out the judges are looking to see how the kids are going in the hall, how they're walking, and how they're playing in the playground, and how they are eating in the lunchroom, and how they're playing in the gym. And Kinalach, this was how to find out which was the best yeshiva. Not the kids that are learning in the class and davening in the shul, of course. But like the Rambam says, how can you tell a real Talmud Chacham and somebody who the Torah really affected him, how they're walking and how they're talking and how they're eating and how they're playing and how they're sharing? And of course, they didn't expect this. This was unexpected. But this is where the contest was judged, to see how the kids were behaving. Now, Kinalach, who remembers the pickpocket story? Well, we were talking about the pickpocket story. How could we serve Hashem from the pocket of the Yetzirah in an unexpected way? And we said, the Yetzirah expects us, of course, to daven and learn, and that's where he tries to get us to stop Chas V'Shalom Mashiach from coming, to try to figure out all kinds of tricks. But what he doesn't expect are things out of his own pocket that he likes to do. He doesn't expect that there, that's where we're going to serve Hashem. So, if we're playing, or we're eating, or we're walking, or we're fooling around, he says, oh, I'll leave him alone, because, you know, he's not really doing anything special right now. He's just doing, you know, things that I like to do myself, so I'm not going to be looking so closely now. And that's where we're careful to behave extra good and do mitzvahs in that time even. There are a lot of mitzvahs we can do of sharing and of Avos Yisrael, making sure that a boy who doesn't play with anybody in the playground also has some friends and also sharing in the game. Or to let somebody go in line and not go in front of them and make sure the line is nice. Shh. Or if somebody drops something, help them pick it up. All kinds of mitzvahs we can do during these unexpected times. And Kinalach, it says, Mashiach will come in an unexpected way. So if we do things in an unexpected way, a mitzvah that's not expected, but we do it, that's going to help Hashem to come in an unexpected way. Or we talked about the boy whose mommy has to tell him 10 times to clean up the room. And today he cleaned it up even before she told him how to do it. Today he cleaned up the room even before she said he has to do it. It was unexpected. Ah, He did a mitzvah in an unexpected way. So hopefully Mashiach will come, kinelach, faster, also in an unexpected way. But because we're doing that way of serving Hashem, it's going to bring him faster. We do that in avoda, and it brings Hashem.